Dus van de bottom zone, de meter, de Holland meter range, maar zing erover. Jesus heals. That is death and endless life. Jesus heals. Jesus heals. Sing it softly through the room. You know, that's what that little woman did. Samuel's mother. She spoke, you know, where she said, she cried with her heart and her lips moved, but there's no noise come out. And the prophet, he thought that she was a bit of a, maybe she had been a divine. But God knew her heart. So sing it softly through the room. When the heart for mercy craves, sing in triumph for the tomb. Jesus saved, Jesus saved. We'll sing this in the chorus again, then I'll go ahead.
Does save, praise God. The Lord bless each one as we turn to Luke's Gospel. And we do give everyone a warm welcome in our service. Luke chapter 14. And just a wee letter from Sister Carl. I want to thank everyone for the offering to me and my family. May God richly bless you all. Praise God. So we do appreciate the help of God's people. And Carl appreciates it and the family. And also, we have someone going home tomorrow, and I'm going to miss them. I'm sure you'll miss them. The Amen Corner, Sister Rita. The Lord bless you, sister. And I want you to take your greetings back to Brother Makeway. And he's holding the fort over in Scotland. Pray for Brother Makeway.
Amen.
You know, it's a tough job and he needs your prayers. And pray for Brother Makeway. Praise God as his sister Rita goes back. And I'm sure Carl will miss all the help and support that her mum's been to her over this time. And we just thank God for friends, real friends. In a time of need means a whole lot, doesn't it? Praise God. Let us turn until John 14. Just to say, I'm away on the 27th of this month. I'm off to preach in Manchester for Brother Joseph, who's doing deliverance meetings. So the deacons can do that weekend. It'll be the weekend, this last weekend in this month. So it's not next Sunday, but the one after. So Brother John, my dad, can do that then that Sunday. I'll be back on the Sunday, but not in time for the evening meeting. But pray for the brothers as well as they do the service here, and pray for me as I prepare to go to Manchester. And maybe we'll try and get Brother Andrew to come early next month, and then that'll give us a bit of a gap before Brian comes and the different brethren that's coming. Praise God. Let's read from verse 25 of Luke 14. And there went a great multitude with him. And he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father, and his mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross, and come after me, cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, on account of the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is unable to finish it, all that beheld it begin to mock him. Praise God. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, and we do praise you tonight for your mercy and for your grace. Father, I pray you bless our coming together tonight, for we're coming together in your name. the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've come together. Father, we've read your word. We know your word is blessed. We pray you'll bless it again. Grant, Lord, that thou will give the inspiration of this text tonight, and that thou will speak to our hearts again and stir our lives, that we may draw closer to thee. Father, I do sincerely pray for Brother Gary and Sister Ruth, that thou will bless them and touch them, and that thou will heal the children, all of them, in Jesus' precious name. For others, maybe perhaps, Lord, laid aside tonight or couldn't be here, Lord, will you bless them? Will you undertake for them? And Lord, for those that's near and dear in our hearts tonight and far away from thee, we would ask that the great shepherd of the flock would seek them out and find them and carry them back to the fold in Jesus Christ's name. Now, Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit to help me, and I thank you that you undertake for me in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I want to take for the text tonight, count the cost. That's the text tonight. Man is not a mere creature of circumstances like a plant, but Christ expects us to act as responsible men and to sit down and to count the cost before starting any serious undertaking. We're to count the cost. And this tower referred to here stands for beauty, safety, and a prospect. It is applicable to all character builders. Verse 27 tells us about that. We cannot count the cost until we have first the vision of some great possible before us. No wise man desires his life to end like the Tower of Babel in shame and in confusion. To live the Christian life is indeed a great and solemn undertaking, isn't it? Not just anything. Many begin this tower, and I'm looking at this tower tonight as us, as our lives. Many begin this tower and seem not to be able to finish it, bringing themselves into ridicule, and the tower into a laughing stock, because they don't first count the cost. And I'm going to preach from this tonight, and I want you to get a hold of this. It's really maybe for the unsaved, but that's not going to make no difference to me tonight. I'm going to preach it anyhow.
Amen.
Praise God. And it'll do us good to hear for all of us here. Count the cost. The cost of being a Christian. What is the cost? You say there's no cost. But there is a cost. There's no cost to get saved. We know that. It's free. But there's a counting of a cost. It is costly. It costs some more than others. Natural temperament, early training and environment may influence greatly. Whatever the price must be paid, we must count the cost. A lot of people don't count the cost. We have 12 services in this church a month. 12. And I was thinking the other day, there's people that come to our meetings and they come to no more than about 3 a month. Out of the 12. Now that's not counting much of a cost, is it? And you said, brother, are you going to preach at us tonight? Why not? If you were here, you could preach at me. But I tell you, the Lord's coming. The Lord is coming. And it's easy to say what the pastor should do, and what the deacon should do, and what the elder should do. But we as individuals must count the cost. God wants us to know what we'll do. And God wants you to do for him. And I want you to consider this tonight and count this cost. The first thing I want to say about this is a giving up of all sin. Sin is a thing that blocks anybody from the Lord. Christ gave himself for us, Titus 2:14. That he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Jesus Christ never counted the cost. He gave all. He gave all. Everything. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, He gave us all. Christ gave us all. He never counted the cost and said it's too much. The cost was high. But Christ paid the price. And He paid the price in full. He counted the cost. And He gave us all. Sin is the worst of all investments. My, there's many tonight investing in sin, isn't there? The sin of the flesh, the sin of the world, the sin of everything. They're investing in it. And the Bible speaks about it. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And many tonight are investing in sin and they're going to receive a wage. And this wage is death. I tell you, it's terrible. That's why we as Christians must count the cost and live for Christ. And give her all. So that we can win others to Him. People won't take us serious. If we are willy-nilly. No point asking people to come to church but don't come ourselves. And laugh at you. And say you're not serious. It's like a fella training for football, training for boxing, training for anything. If he goes to the gym once a week, he's not serious. He's a part-timer. He never do much. No matter how good his skill will only take him so far. But he'll not have the fitness to go to the top. And I tell you, God wants a people that's physically, spiritually fit. And the muscle well-trained and fit. So that they can go to the top for God. But there has to be a counting of the cost. Every scheme in which it has a place is rotten. Sin, it is. The wicked must forsake his ways. Acts 2:38 tells us, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I tell you, that's the only thing that will cure this world, is repentance. Let me read you this tonight from a message called God Hiding Himself in Simplicity. Won't you take your way with the humility? Say, Lord God, I don't care what it costs me. I don't care what it is. I'm finished with sin. I don't say you're bad. I don't say you smoke or drink or anything. But you don't believe the word. If you believe the word, say, Lord, I don't care what it costs me. If it costs me my denomination, if it costs me my showing party, if it costs me my club, if it costs me my popularity amongst friends, I don't care what it costs, I am going to accept the message of Calvary. I'm going to be humble, I'm going to humble myself from this time on. But there's a counting of the cost. God can never work with a people till they're separated. Separated from sin. And separated from unbelief. And there's many times God separates us from people. Because of full unbelief. Unbelief kills the move of God. God wants us to separate from unbelief. He wants us to count the cost. Now it might be a sewing party today. When William Branham referred to this. But you see, even Big Paisley said it with preachers. He said God hasn't called a preacher for tea parties. He's called a preacher to preach the gospel. Amen. That's what a preacher's called for, not for a tea party. Yeah, you'll have big crowds for a tea party, but you'll have nobody converted. It's only the power of the preaching of the gospel that saves and converts men and women. And there's a counting of the cost. I wonder tonight if God's calling a man in this room, in this very room. You say, brother, you know us all. Yes, and I'm preaching to you. What if God was calling you tonight, would you count the cost? What would you be willing to give up to go God's way? I'm reading a tremendous testimony of a young man at the minute. And I tell you, God brought him to the place where he was willing to give up all. And he had nothing and he ended up getting a nice house, him and his wife. And everything looked good and God said to him, I want you to give it all up. And go on the mission field for me. And he said, Lord, my wife will never believe it. And he prayed that God would speak with his wife wife, and he said when he came home that day, she was in tears. And he said she wasn't the type of woman that cried. And when he said to her, did somebody die in the family? Is there something wrong? She said, no. She said, I opened my Bible when everyone went out. She said, God spoke to me from it. That where to go. They counted the cost. They gave up all to go. Jesus said, if you love anything more than me, you're not worthy of me. God wants all of our love, not part of it. God wants all of us, not a wee bit of us, now and again. Wants us all. I tell you, we're leaving this world. Why should we worry about this life and this world? Why should we pay so much attention to it? When we're going to leave this world, and we're going to go to a place what the Lord prepared for us. Beautiful place. Counting the cost. You see, part of this counting the cost, here's another thing about it, you have to surrender your own will. I want you to get this. There's a giving up of the sin, you say, brother, but we're seeing. Yes or no? But Christians can backslide. And I tell you here, there's a surrendering of the will. Many times when God wants us to do His will, we don't do it. We do our own will. Our will might not be God's will. But the Bible says, my ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. For the heavens higher than the earth, so is my ways higher than your ways. God wants us to do His will. God's will is God's way. I tell you, in God's will tonight, do you believe you're in God's will? People come to church, and people leave church, and they go somewhere else, or they sit at home. But my question is, if it was God's will to bring them to that assembly, whose will are they in when they leave it? Are they in God's will? I tell you, God wants us to be in His will. We can't say we're the bride if we're not in God's will. The bride would have to be in God's will. We want to be in God's will. Who doesn't want to be in God's will? Now, you know, Brother Branham, one time went out of the will of God. God never spoke to him for months. And the man said, oh, but Brother Branham, if you're saying you're out of God's will, look at the mighty things that's happening. And the Brother Branham said, but brothers, you don't understand what would have happened if we had stayed in the will of God. I tell you, when we're in God's will, anything can happen. When we're in God's perfect will. Thou have me to do. What wilt thou have me to do? That's what you say when you're in God's will. Must be the attitude of the soul. We must count it all the cost, the self-life to put to Christ. First in everything. And seek first His kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, not anything else, but the kingdom first. Seek first the kingdom. People say to me, I need an immediate answer from God. People tell me this regular. I need an immediate, brother, I need an immediate answer from God. If I was to ask that person, how many nights have you spent praying about it? I doubt if they've spent one. I'm not saying for everybody. You could spend long times praying. God might not still speak to you right away. But I'm going to tell you one thing. My Bible tells me, and I preached it this morning, they that wait in the Lord will renew the strength. And when you seek God sincerely and earnestly, you will hear from the Lord. Counting the cost. Here's another thing about counting the cost. Separation from the world. I don't mean you don't go to your job. You have to go to your job. You have to do your work. There's things you have to do, but there's things we have to separate from. I wouldn't be letting Brother John tomorrow night and go out to a pub. I've no interest. The only time I would do that is to go and witness in it. I know people do that. I'm all for it. But I wouldn't go to associate with people in a pulpit, no fellowship with them. The Lord's delivered me from that land. I don't want to go back to it. No interest in the darts club with a drinker. No interest. There's a lot of things we have to separate from in this world. We have to count the cost. It's a separated life, a holy life unto the Lord. Counting of the cost. We're to go after him, bearing his cross. Verse 27 tells us. Galatians 6:14 says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." We're to be crucifying the world and the world us. We're in the world, but we're not off the world. Oh, but what if my lost friends are going to? I can guarantee you that. I'll guarantee you that. Oh, yes. You know, I remember when I first got saved and my pals came on Sunday for me. And there was no problem before when they come on the Sunday. I was going with them, but not now. I'm saved now. Serving the Lord. And when they come for me in the Sunday, I said, "No! I'm not going!" There was no dog hunting on a Sunday. No, Saturday, alright, not on a Sunday. Not going. I'm serving the Lord. And I tell you something, we're cut slack as Christians. And I'm not talking to you in here, I'm not talking to you as individuals. I'm talking universally now. To all believers worldwide. Christians have got so slack of a Sunday. And they do things on a Sunday now that years ago would have been shunned that and they wouldn't have done. Now I know keeping Sunday doesn't save you, but it is a day to the Lord we were serving. To come to church to serve God. And the Bible says on the seventh day thou shalt rest. That's God's word. We're ordered to keep a Sabbath to the Lord. And I tell you, it's so true. You ever notice people will have a wee something for you to do on a Sunday? Well, you never hear from them all week, and then all of a sudden they'll want you. Oh, yes, I know all about it. Best thing to do is say, "Yes, Sunday, come you with me." Amen. On Sunday.
That's true.
I'm going somewhere for you need to go.
That's right.
It's like the wee man went down the street one Sunday, Sydney Murray, and he seen the man stand at the door and he said, "Would he get a cure in here?" And they said, "You will, come in." And he got saved that Sunday. That's the cure he got. James McConnell was only 16 or 18 preaching. Sydney Murray come down intoxicated from the night before, still in the horrors of drink. But when he heard the gospel preached, he turned on the Lord and he got saved. Thank God for it. And we come for the cure. But we're to be separated from the world. When we find out all Christ is, easy to give up for him. When you really love the Lord, these things become easy to give up, don't they? If any man... John 1 John 2 and 15, the first epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 15, look what it says. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in it." God tells us, love not the world, nor the things of the world. But we're to love God with all our heart. Now it doesn't say don't love the people. For God loved the world, the people. You pray for them. But you don't have to compromise to win them. You live right so that they know you're different. Here's another thought. You'll have opposition by the world. Opposition, you say, brother. Opposition, you better believe it. You'll have opposition. Every man of God has opposition from the world. But if you have no opposition, something's wrong. You're going too easy on it. People said one time, and that's the And the church, thank God. For he says, the church, the devil's not against you, do not. That's what he said. And you think of the ministry with him, Branham Hunt, and he said, all the doors are closed to me. They don't want me. Christians, yes, don't want me. Well, the ministry you have, yes, don't want it. They'd rather have their wee parties in their clubs, but they don't want the gospel demonstrated. Sad, isn't it? I tell you, opposition. Opposition will say to you, do you go to that wee place? But do you not believe this and this, and they come up with this stuff? Wherever it comes from, nobody knows. But they'll produce it. But then you say, where do you go? How were you baptized? Three times, are you a Catholic? Do you believe in the Trinity? You must be a Catholic. You see? Do you see how far they're away from the truth? Brethren, let us forget that Rome is a mother of harlots and she had daughters. Daughters. And they're unclean before God. And that's why the angel of the Lord said, don't call them churches, call them lodges. Opposition. The world that hated him will hate you also. Know by his work of faith condemn the world. You remember when a brother Andrew preached a great sermon about Noah here some time back. I'm sure most of us remember. And brought out, look what Noah preached. Noah was a prophet. Noah was a man of God. But they never listened. It had no effect. Now I'm sure Noah, there was people saying, Noah, you need to change your sermon. Noah, you need to do something different. Nobody's coming in. And they didn't come in. But Noah condemned the word. Hebrews 11 verse 7, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his own house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. He condemned the world. I tell you something, Jesus is coming again. People can laugh at you. Or you're going to church and they laugh at you. They've no respect for them. But I tell you, it's a sad day. Don't laugh at them. Pray for them. For they're ignorant of it. Let me say that. Don't take it that I'm saying go against it. I'm not. Pray for them. Be like the Lord. You see, when Abel's blood cried, it cried for vengeance. But when Jesus' blood cried, it cried for mercy. The comparison and the contrast. Both shepherds. Both watched over their flocks. But one's blood cried for judgment. One cried for mercy. And no doubt the world condemned him. Abel had to suffer because his works were righteous, didn't they? In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Jesus warned us we would have tribulations. Here's another thought. Temptation by the devil. You see, the world's no temptation, and sometimes you realize that because they do it anyway. They don't care about it. But you as a believer don't. You're tempted by it, but you don't do it. That's why we need the Lord's help all the time. The ungodly are not tempted as a Christian through the lusts of the eye and the pride of the life. He still offers subtile illusion. But Christ is able to deliver and succor the tempted. You say the world's not tempted. No, they just go and do it. Don't they? Didn't you do it as well? Didn't I do it before I was saved? But now that you're saved, you wouldn't do it. But before you're saved, oh, some of us were fornicators. Some of us were adulterers. But now we're in Christ. Now we're justified. Now we're sanctified. That's the difference. We wouldn't do it no more. not to temptation, but we turn to the Lord. Isn't that right? But I tell you, don't condemn the ones that's doing it. Pray for them. They need to see it. They need God's mercy. So they need to see something in us that's real. Revelation 3:10 says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. The hour of temptation that's coming on the world. I tell you, we need the Lord to help us. You think of Peter. The Lord himself prayed for Peter. That thy faith fail not. And you know, after all them things, and he said to Peter, do you love me? He says, I do, Lord. And the Lord asked him 3 times. And he said, thou knowest I love you, Lord. And he said, feed my sheep. Isn't that wonderful? We need the Lord every day. It's like our brother John said the other week, we need to ask God for help. On the simple things, as well as the big things. For the Lord to help us. Praise God. Isn't it the truth? Here's another thought, self-denial. And I'm not going to keep you long tonight. But I've got to bring this. Count the cost. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself. That's the words of Jesus. The Lord wants us to deny ourselves and follow the Lord. We're not building our own kingdom. We have none. It's His kingdom. It's His church. He's the head. It's all Him. It's not me, I, or you. It's Christ. He's the one we must lift. He's the one we must preach. He's the one that must be the center of the meeting. He's the one that must be glorified. He's the one that must be uplifted. He's the one that must be worshipped. He's the one that must be praised. It's His name that we need to magnify. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. We can't do it. It's the Lord that does it. But we must count the cost and deny all and serve Him. Serve Him completely. Don't serve Him half-heartedly. Give all out to God. And I tell you, God will bless you. You can't outdo God. So see, we're giving. I know people here, good givers, are going to say that. The Lord bless you. And I know there's many of you here with testimonies. How you give to the Lord. And how the Lord blessed you. And you know, I can tell you different testimonies. Times when I wanted to go to Africa and went home, the money was there. And I know maybe someone in this meeting hall gave it for me. It was there for me. God provided the way. And I thank the Lord for it. I tell you, you can't outdo God. God wants us to be obedient. If you've only a pound open and God tells you to do it with it, that's still obedience, even if it's 100. It's not the amount, it's the obedience to the Lord. That's the secret. Counting the cost. And give all to the Lord. The Christian life is a life of faith in the Son of God. And so must be a life of self-denial. Not I, but Christ. Christ counted the cost when He came forth to live the life of the Father among sinful men. He counted the cost. As the Father sent me, so have I sent you. That's what Jesus said. John 20:21. And I'm coming to close in a moment. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And I have it here, I didn't write it down, but you know what the next verse tells us? He breathed on them. And they received the Holy Ghost. He breathed on them. He sent them, but He never sent them powerless. If God's going to send you, He'll send you a power. That's His way of doing it. And He sent them, and then He breathed on them. And He breathed on them the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you, when they went forth, they cast out devils by their words. And many turned to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And they came back with rejoicing.
Right.
And the Lord said, don't rejoice that the demons are subject, but rejoice rather that your name's written in the Lamb's book of life. It's not something for every one of us. A soul saved is more important than anything. That's the most important thing. It's the kind of cost that we can see people saved. Come unto the Lord. Now this is really for the unbelievers, but I'm going to say these things. I mark these all down today. The cost of not being a Christian is a cost. If a soul's wealth of capacity and power is invested in the things of this world, utter and eternal bankruptcy will follow. When you invest all in this world, when you put all to the world and the things of the world, you're heading for bankruptcy of the soul. That's what you're heading for. The business of a Christian life is an awfully expensive one. In the sense you give up all, he shall surely lose, and what a loss. What do you hear now? Seven things I wrote here. What are a loss to the man who won't count the cost. The loss of the forgiving love of God the Father. Loss of it in that heaven. The loss of the saving power of Christ. The loss of the comforting presence of the Holy Ghost. The loss of the assured promises of God's word. They have none of it. The man that's not saved, none of these things. Number five, the loss of the joy of service in his prevailing name. Six, the blessed hope of seeing him and being like him. Seven, the glories and rewards of his everlasting kingdom and prizes. These are things they'll never know, but they never count at the cost. Count the cost. What did it cost the prodigal to come? What did it cost him? The rags and the wretchedness. Nothing really. It cost him his rags and his wretchedness. He had to humble himself, humble his own pride. And he came in his rags and his righteousness. But the Father said, no, he didn't say that. He said, here, come on. And he threw his arms out and received him. And he said, kill the fatted calf. Get the best robe. Get the best ring. Put the ring on his finger. Put new clothes on him. He counted the cost. I tell you, there's many today that are not counting the cost. And I tell you, they've gone down a long road of separation from God and the things of God. And they need to count the cost. We as Christians.